everybody. Awesome episode with an OKP. We got texting long distance, tons of news, tons of stuff up front. Check it out. Enjoy. Share with friends. And welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it works, baby. You listen to the show. You tell a friend. You make it your Instagram story. Your friend sees and goes, ooh, what's this? Okay. And you know what it is? I want to reference something that, and I'll bring in our guest. We have a OKP here. Very excited to have him here. OKP, Anthony DeVito.
What up?
Thank you.
Great guest alert.
You got to put on the headphones. You can hear Shelby's. This is Shelby's craft.
Oh, my bad.
He's got. Yeah, the crowd is upset with you.
Shelby.
He's very angry. Unruly.
Jeez, that is a large crowd.
A big crowd.
You brought in.
I got a big apartment.
You brought in a lot of people. A
lot of people. A lot of fans of you.
Oh, yeah?
They know you.
Really?
Original key player of the show.
Great guest alert.
There we go.
Damn, man. Shelby's on it.
He's on his game. Okay. The crowd's laughing.
Tepid laughter.
Yeah, tepid. I wanted to bring you on because I think you'd be great for this discussion.
Sure.
But I do appreciate how people, I think it makes sense to bring this up because I say it a lot about telling people about a podcast. People kind of get, they come at you, their fists are up.
Sure.
I don't listen to podcasts. I don't do this, you know, whatever. And you're like, okay. And you know, like when someone tells you a TV show that you have to watch.
Yes.
And immediately you're like, I don't want to fuck that show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care. It could be the fucking Nobel Prize winning show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it could be my show.
It could.
I'll never watch it.
Yo, you got to watch Anthony DeVito's show.
Not anymore.
Because fuck you and your sensibilities, and I want to discover shit on my own.
You know what? I guess it's because they're imposing their will on you. And you're like, fuck you. I'll do what I want with my time.
Yeah.
You don't tell me what to do.
We're all the children that we don't want to admit we are.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we don't want to be, you know, we want the medicine hidden inside of the Twinkie.
Yeah.
We want to be, want to go, oh, I feel so much better. You know, whoa.
That's how you could tell you were a fat kid.
Yes. I didn't go with broccoli. Yeah. I went with fucking Twinkie. We want the medicine hidden inside the fried donut hamburger sandwich.
Yeah. Have you ever had that, by the way?
The fried donuts?
The fried donut hamburger combo?
Hamburger. No. It's a state fair thing, right?
I've had it indoors.
Oh, yeah. Well, indoors.
I'm
sorry. The Queen of England's here.
I didn't mean. Yeah, there are no trumpets upon my arrival. I had it once. That is sweet and salty.
Indoors is your designation. You're the difference of state fair to not state fair.
Yeah, we're talking
is roof overhead.
Indoors, yeah. Roof, beams.
Shit, man.
Not canvas.
You're wow.
We're talking wood. We're talking canvas. Concrete. We're talking nails, bolts.
Wow.
We're talking 1099s, baby.
Not your regular donut hamburger.
This is legit. They got windows.
Where did you have it?
I had it in a bar in D.C.
Okay.
At a place called Beer Baron. This is a couple
years
ago.
Oh, I know this Beer
Baron.
You probably
know. Yeah,
they
do comedy.
Yeah.
They
don't allow me there.
Oh, really?
Who books it?
I don't know that anyone
that
books
dude?
It. I think the Baron.
The Baron himself is outside with a cape on.
Yeah. He gets drunk and he writes some emails to people he saw on YouTube.
Yeah. He's got a big. He's got one of those masks on.
Yeah.
He looks like the Texas Tech mascot. Okay.
What the Red Raider?
Yeah. To me, that's a Baron.
This is because you've been on this college football.
Yeah.
Tour.
This is all of my references are college mascot related.
Yeah, man.
Texas.
He's like the FIU.
Yeah.
You know,
Thundercat.
Dean.
I love college mascots.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I love when they're interesting. I think your school is as interesting as your mascot.
Yes, I agree with you. Where Penn State is the Nittany Lion.
Nittany Lion.
What's the Nittany?
It's an extinct lion. Nittany means one mountain on its own.
Okay.
So it's not a mountain range. It's just one single mountain. One nipple mountain. Out in the,
man,
the distance.
That seems like the lowest rung of mountain lions. You just got one mountain?
Just a lonely lion.
Yeah, man. That's basically a hill lion.
It's a hill lion.
That's fucked
because
up.
Off in the distance, if you go tailgate at Penn State, you can see Mount Nittany.
Oh, okay.
It's just one mount.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like nothing around it. That's what Nittany means.
Oh, okay.
If I'm wrong, by the way,
yeah.
I just sounded so confidently wrong. Like if Nittany means it means tooth, like
I bought it. Hook, line, and sinker.
I'm not even gonna Google. I'm going with one mountain on its own.
Yeah, well we're not gonna do that. Let's
but
go
Nittany
with that.
Lion. Like, what was the old Miami Hurricanes? But I like the bird that they use.
Ibis.
What is it?
It's the ibis.
I love the ibis mascot.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, man! That's a hot bird.
That's a hot bird. It's a fun cartoon.
Yes, it is a fun cartoon.
I always thought the New Orleans Pelicans made a huge mistake.
Okay.
By going fierce pelican.
No, you gotta,
as opposed to funny doofy 100%, pelican.
100%. No one is scared. No one is scared of a treacherous pelican.
No.
You want a goofy bird.
We want a goofy bird. We want it flopping around, falling on itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the reason there's never been the only bird horror movie. There's like 1,000 birds.
But
my point is they needed a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's not just one on its own
a
that's
murder
doing the
of
job.
Ravens.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no, you want a goofy bird.
Goofy bird.
Because birds, I think, in cartoons as well, they're usually the comic relief. Like in Animaniacs, they were very funny.
Yeah.
They're usually funny creatures.
I think the birds in Looney Tunes were racist.
Funny.
But funny.
Funny, you know,
yeah,
you know,
listen,
what?
Funny's
hey,
funny.
Hey, man, it was the times.
It was the times.
It was the humor back then, you know?
It was the times is really... awful or not awful at the same time. There's no middle. It was the times.
What's a good example of it was the times?
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing
Saddles, you're like, it was the times.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I'm not going to go out there and, you know, screen Blazing Saddles for a certain group of people. But
have you ever?
It was the times. Bad It Was the Times is, you know,
I'll say Rush Hour.
Yeah. Rush Hour.
Bullshit. Rush Hour is a great
Rush
It Was
Hour.
The Times. If you've not seen Rush Hour in a little bit, dude, it's the best.
Rush Hour kind of shows... It's such a ridiculous movie.
Thanks to him that you're just like, yeah, man, you cannot say
that
an Asian person.
No,
he's like, Lee, man, what you been doing? Eating too many noodles? That's why you late? And he's just like, I'm so sorry. Sorry, I thought you so many soul food
you
in the area.
You can't do that accent.
No, I know. I'm doing
Jackie Chan.
I'm doing Jackie Chan for the sake of a conversation.
Sure.
I'm just doing it just free will, and I think I could get away with this.
Jackie Chan. This doesn't help it at all.
Shelby, hit my song.
Play Anthony's Jackie Chan music. Yeah, that movie. Do you think there's Asian people? I'm going to bring on Ronnie Chang to hear his opinion. He has to talk for all the Asians.
He's about not a even movie from. That's like 14 years old.
But I need an Asian opinion on
Rush Hour.
How they feel about Jackie Chan even doing
in
that
general.
Movie.
Right.
Like Jackie Chan. But here's the other thing. It's like, does your group get to crazy rich Asians because Chan did Rush Hour?
I agree. I'll go with you on that. I think you have to open the door with what the people want of your people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, this is started this conversation.
Because it's always going to end up ignorant. It's going to be too big for the room.
Sure.
It's going to be bad.
The medicine inside the Twinkie.
Yes.
The Twinkie 100%. Is Rush Hour.
A little bit of antibiotics and an egg roll.
But Crazy Rich Asians, which even some, I've listened to a couple podcasts, some Asian people have, they're like, it doesn't show the whole experience. This is rich people, but also it's called Crazy Rich Asians.
The movie spells out what it's going to be.
Yes.
And it's a 2.5 hour long movie.
Yeah.
That's not enough time to encompass the whole world.
Half the world.
Yeah.
Half the world.
Let's tell every story. Yeah,
every story. But this is my point. Right now, we're taping ahead of time because I am in San Francisco right now. Tonight through Wednesday, I'm going to be at the Punchline. I think it's sold out, except for there were a couple tickets left for tomorrow. But then Sacramento on Thursday, there's tickets left for that. So come out to Sacramento Punchline the 15th. But what I'm bringing this up for is because today an episode of the You Up podcast came out.
Right.
Where we had this woman on, Nancy Jo Sales is her name. Let me make sure. It's Nancy. Shelby, you helped us get her.
We did.
What's her name?
Nancy Jo Sales, I believe that's
Nancy Jo Sales. Yeah. Nancy Jo Sales came on. Shelby, you were the one that got us her, right?
I did.
Now, you saw her do another interview?
I did another podcast with her.
And how did that go?
Why do you ask?
Well, she came on...
Shelby, man, you're not being like interrogated for
politician.
A crime. Yeah, what?
She came on the You Up podcast, and I was very appreciative of having her because she has a fantastic documentary that's on HBO called Swiped. Or
all about like Tinder, and she was talking about how the negative parts for
she
girls.
She was very against the dating apps because she believes that there are corporations that are looking to make money and they're using the bait of love to get people to give up, you know, right. The certain whatever.
Uh-huh.
But she came on the U-Up and a lot of people are writing back and I do agree with a lot of the things she says.
Because it's not like...
None of it is disagreeable.
There's ways, I guess, to make a documentary like just exploring everything, but it is talk about the negative aspects. And after I was like, that's like, I actually do another podcast. It's all about dating. It's like so much talk about not only the apps, but I was like saying, oh, what about Instagram? A lot of times we say, oh, that's like the best dating app. And she's like, and I was like, yeah, we get into like, you know, negative, I guess, aspects, but like an honest way. And that's kind of how it.
Yeah. So but I appreciated having her on. And a lot of people are writing me back saying how happy they are to have heard her, what she was saying. But she delivered it in a way that the medicine was tough to take.
No Twinkie.
No Twinkie.
Straight.
It was just take my mouth. Fucking medicine.
What about a water? No water.
No, I don't want. No, you're swallowing
You've
this
got
fucking
saliva,
pill.
Don't you?
Yeah, that's kind of. And the thing is, I came open minded. I was like, you know, I've seen the documentary. I want to like talk about it, but I also want to talk about like what are the alternatives? Like, what are we gonna, you know? And it's kind of like with telling someone that you should listen to a podcast.
Right.
That's because people look at you and go, "I got my shit." You know, I don't need your shit.
What do you mean in terms of like your mindset for the thing?
I'm saying, how do we tell people about the J Train podcast without?
oh man, I thought you were.
This
gonna...
all comes back to the Prince of Promos.
This is for a promo.
Yeah. This is a promo.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, so
I thought you were like,
bitch.
Yeah, you really did.
See,
I thought you were like opening up a conversation. I was like, all right,
I am
guess
opening
I'll
up a conversation. But the thing is, she came on the show and basically what she did was she would go on these long. Long monologues about how evil these corporations were and made great points.
Sure.
But then I would try and like say, well, what about this? And she would go and she would just spray me with buzzwords that made it so I couldn't even speak to her.
Tell me,
don't interrupt. And, you know, straight white men created these apps. So it's like, I can't, you know, what am I going to do? Like, well, and then she's like, there's racism on these apps. And I'm like, yeah, there's racism everywhere. And she's like, you don't think racism is a problem? And then it's like, you've already said the straight white male thing. You've already said the... And it's like, well, okay. So I can't talk.
I'm out.
Well, basically what she's doing is racist.
Mm.
She's saying, you're a lesser human being, so you can't even have this conversation with me.
Right.
Which, it's a good tactic.
But
to the listener at home, if you want to win the argument with me, and I'm not looking to argue. I was happy to have her on. And I think what she's saying, again, she brings up so many great points that as adults, as consumers, as people who have the free will to spend their money and use their time for the things they want to use their time on, we should be aware of.
Right.
You could smoke a cigarette and also know it gives you cancer.
Right.
You can use a dating app and also know that you're walking into a place that there's misogyny and that there's racism.
Sure.
It's just like any place you could walk into.
Sure.
So, you know, when you bring it, she's basically saying they should all go away, I guess. And it's like, well... I don't agree with that. I agree with free will and being able to make decisions that might not be good for you, just like the hamburger donut.
Right.
I don't know. And I just think the delivery of it, if she had discussed it with me, all of her points would have gone through to the audience.
Right.
When you lock the interviewers out who invited you on. And promoted your stuff.
Oh, totally, man.
And spoke glowingly of your stuff. And you just put a stiff arm up to us. Your message doesn't even get out there because everyone's so hung up on that person was a dick.
Yeah, I think what's happening now, or what I'm seeing a lot, and I haven't heard the episode. I don't know the interaction, but people, everyone just wants to scream at each other.
So everyone's
so defensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everyone uses language that's aggressive.
Yes.
No, everyone's like, you're gonna scream over me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna nail my point to you as hard as I can.
Yes.
Rather than being like, all right, like let's use more effusive. I think that's the word, right?
Yeah.
Use more like effusive language to actually have an amicable conversation.
Sure.
Rather than just like, you're gonna try to fight me on this, and I know you're gonna try to fight me on this, so I'm gonna swing first.
And also, what they do is a lot of times they have this like break in case of emergency lever to their right of buzzwords like racism and straight white male, and they're like, if it gets bad,
I hit that red button
and now J-Train, you're out.
Yeah, man.
And I was lucky to have Jordana there, who, you know, Jordana's a successful, smart woman.
Sure.
So like with a corporate, like a company that she runs,
right.
And you know, so a lot of the interview is me like, get him, Jordana. Because I know you're Jordana comes with comes to the conversation with respect for me.
You're like writing things down and passing it to Jordana for her to say.
There's something to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I do, man.
It's like, you know, it's like why you find out that a lot of white people write for black comics.
Sure.
You know, like, I could never say this, but
totally.
Here you go.
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, it's known that the Chris Rock N-word joke is partly written by Louis C.K.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I don't want to speak out of turn. Shelby. Shelby, can you look that up so I don't sound like an idiot? Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll just look up Louis C.K. N-word.
Yeah.
Here's what's fucked up about Louis' life right now. You look up Louis C.K. N-word, it is like the fourth page of Google search.
Yeah.
That's how much bad shit he's had going on.
Yeah,
you got to get so far to
way
be
down.
Like, yeah, he also said the N-word a bunch of times. Yeah. That's a tough. That is a tough spot to be in your life.
Here's a here's a hypothetical. Yeah, play the music, Shelby.
I love it.
You're Louis C.K. right now.
Uh huh.
You transport to his body. You have his life, his ability to get on stage, his career from now going forward.
Absolutely.
It's you, but you have everything that is dogging Louis C.K.
Right.
As you.
Right.
So let me change the hypothetical.
Okay.
You're you, but you're transported into the career of Louis C.K. now going forward. Do you take it? So you have all the success.
No.
And now you have this huge scandal. People are protesting your shows.
Man.
But now you're one of the top comedians in the world.
My real answer is no, because I like a simple life.
I get you.
I'd say
you're betting on yourself now. Is what you're doing by
making
I'm
not even betting on myself. I'm just saying that life of just every time everybody when they look at you is picturing you masturbating and naked.
You make a great point because I've watched him go on stage since.
Right.
And I was like, let's see what happens.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I was hosting at the Cellar. I'll tell this story.
Sure.
I don't think this is a problem to tell. I mean, I was hosting at the Cellar, brought him on stage. First of all, I'm about to bring him on stage, and in the corner of, it was the Village Underground. It's like 250 people. In the corner, like when you bring up one of these like special guests, and what they're doing at the Comedy Cellar is they're trying to make it as, they're trying to play it down the middle. They're trying to say, if you want your money back, you can have your money back if you don't agree with the comic that's dropped in. If it wasn't on the lineup. So I think that's a fair thing to do.
Yeah.
And they're also putting Louis last.
Right. Also,
so you've gotten the full show.
Totally.
And then you can opt out if you'd like, which I think is a fair.
I think with this, it's difficult and people are going to have problems with it in the beginning because it's like, I don't know, it's sort of unprecedented. So no one knows.
Yeah. Well, the reaction's unprecedented. You know, like the response.
Well, yeah. The everything about it is unique.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, there's going to be some bumps in the road while we work out the kinks to a system that works.
Yes, I totally agree.
But for now, this is the one they have in place, and I think it's pretty
good. This is what's going on. In my personal opinion, I think, Louis could have chose a better way to come back. That's my personal opinion.
I don't know shit. I've said this before just to people in cars. But might as well get it on tape.
Get it on tape.
I think there's
exclusive on the J Train podcast. Ring that bell.
Ring that bell, Shelb. We got a hot take coming.
Sizzling. The news breaking.
I think there was no right way to go about this, but yeah, I think he chose the wrongest way.
Yeah. Yeah, there could have been a Barbara Walters.
There could have.
There it is. Breaking news. Sizzling. I'm about to bring him up.
Yeah.
And what I usually say when I'm going to bring up a special guest, if you ever come to a show, I'll say, we have a rule here. You can't use your phones. If this is your first and last warning.
Can I say this from now
sure.
on? Can you bring me up like this?
Yes. I'll bring you up and special guests this way. So you'll either get, if you come to the cellar and I'm hosting, you'll either get Anthony DeVito or you'll get Louis C.K.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.
So I give one reminder to the crowd.
Yeah.
If you take out your phone,
right.
This is your warning. Consider it your last.
Right.
We have to ask you to leave.
Right.
That's our only rule. You can't take out the phone. And I go, is that cool with everybody?
Right.
And then like two people go, yeah. And then I go, I got to hear it from everybody. And then you hear like half the audience.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. Every now and again, we had a special guest. Tonight's one of those nights. Give it up. And then I say the name.
Right.
I give the warning about the phone. And then all of a sudden, this black dude in the corner of the room just goes, that's Louis C.K. Just screams out. And I go, and I'm like, now I got to rush the intro because totally. I don't want everyone. You know, so I was like, we got a special guest. Give it up. Bring him up. Place goes crazy. Not a standing ovation,
mm-hmm.
like has been reported.
Right.
I think that's fake news,
right.
to quote, someone else.
to quote our great savior.
To quote our president.
All praise.
That's fake news, but people did go, people were pumped.
Yeah.
One guy in the back of the room just goes, you fucking dirtbag, and as he's walking out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I think that's a little weird. I think it's as weird to standing owe him as it is to do that.
Feminism, takes shape in every form.
And in white dude, it seems like a lie. He's like, come on, come on, gal, and then puts his arm around her.
It's a calculator.
Yeah. So he yells out, and then someone else yells out in response to that, you the man. he's going to take the other side.
It's like, can we have a little... it's tough to have nuance when you're shouting. Something,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
So both I kind of get stink. It.
You're going to extremes.
Sure.
You got to get your point across in three words or less.
Yeah,
you're not
you
going to get anything intelligent in there.
You're kick not
gonna,
his ass, Seabass.
Yeah, you're not getting anything in there. You're like, well, that's a good point
yeah,
to
yeah,
put
yeah,
in a Times
nah,
article.
Yeah.
It's just...
So both sides look stupid.
And
then, at that point, joke time.
Right.
And you're watching and you're like, and what you said, you're like, in the crowd, you could kind of feel like, as you know, he's known for saying our innermost thoughts.
Right.
That we all kind of have. The darkest thoughts we all have had for maybe a second or two.
Sure.
And then being like, right? We all think that, right?
Right?
And then you laugh.
Right.
And then, so now he's doing, you kind of see them going, yeah, well, you do these things.
Oh, totally.
There is an ounce of that in the room.
Something
I'm sure he'll get over it at some point, but you feel it a little bit now.
Totally. There's no getting around that. That's all that's in my head now.
In your head, just to you. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree with that.
If I watch him or even if I see him, even I had never met him. He shook my hand and I was like, that's the hand. Do you know what I really did that.
That's
probably the hand. That's all I can think now
with him. Yeah.
So that's my reasoning as to why I wouldn't want to be him, because everybody would see me in that light.
Yeah, they would go, that's the hand.
Yeah.
I'd be looking at you
with a
microphone.
I'd be picking out a peach in a fucking grocery store.
We got to throw away that peach.
Throw away that peach.
If I work at the if I'm at Whole Foods, I'm like, gonna put this in the they call it breakage.
Totally, man.
That's breakage.
Like
pile.
Every time I was going out a building and I let someone go in front of me,
here you
people,
go, miss.
People would be like, "Look at him! Yeah. If he had only done that,
yeah, yeah."
Oh, but 15 years ago, he wouldn't be in this predicament. So I would be...
15 years ago, he would open the door for us and then pulled out his cock.
Constantly on edge, man. Yeah. They saw me with a belt, I would freak out. That's what he did. He would undo it and
undo
take him,
it.
Zip him down.
You're like, oh, you could never shop for belts.
that's
a great sketch.
Yeah, that's... I need something that'll hold up in any conditions.
Yes.
Even if I want to take my pants
you
off,
just always,
it doesn't let me.
You're just always wearing stretch pants just to never go to the bathroom and hear the belt noise.
Yeah. Everything is a trigger.
Well, we're excited to have Anthony DeVito here as Anthony DeVito, not Louis C.K. Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
Go follow Anthony at, what the fuck is your thing now?
At Anthony DeVito
underscore.
The, yeah, I was one of the original accounts.
The original underscore guy at Anthony DeVito underscore. And listen, if you don't know Anthony already because you're new to the podcast, he's an OKP. He's great and so funny on stage. And he's got a podcast of his own that is, I would consider, part of the J Train family.
I would definitely consider it.
I'm a fan of their podcast. Yeah. All three members of the podcast have been on this show multiple times. It's called The Rad Dude Cast. And for anyone listening, I would describe it as a vacation from planet Earth.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Rad Dude Cast, as much as this is light conversation where we talk about Louis C.K. for 10 minutes, this is the lightest conversation.
Yes. This is as relatable as we'll ever get on the Rad Dude Cast.
Yeah.
Think an old-time radio show.
Yeah.
But
it's wacky.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty wacky.
Listen, to the people at home, what day are you guys coming? You've gotten more.
No, we're consistent now, man.
I'll say this. The Rad Dude Cast used to be just any time a fucking the wind went right. Now they're on a schedule.
Yeah.
What day are you coming out?
We're coming out on Tuesdays, usually in the afternoon. So but Tuesday afternoon for sure.
Just said it was consistent.
And consistently in the afternoon.
Consistently.
No, it's every Tuesday. At some point in the afternoon.
Okay, every Tuesday afternoon,
yeah,
you're going to get the Rad Dude Cast. Go subscribe. Go get into it. Try it out. What is the one that would like...
I mean, what a fucking ringing endorsement. Try it
I
now.
Know it's not
See
for everybody,
for
but
you.
I love it. But you need one episode. You guys should have one episode that you go out with, you know, when someone's like... When you go on a show, because... There are certain episodes. I mean, you guys, you know, you did Rush Hour 4.
We did do Rush Hour 4.
You did a reading of Rush Hour.
a reading is it makes it sound so much more sophisticated than what Greg and I did.
It's about as sophisticated as what you heard Anthony
did. We did a full improvised movie for Rush Hour 4.
Yeah.
I don't know which episode that is. We've labeled them all now. Before,
okay,
they weren't labeled.
Yeah, they used to be. There was this whole thing that they had with numbering the episodes that was like there's some episodes where you have a 30-minute debate about the number that the episode is, which is a podcast thing only.
Yes.
The idea of numbering episodes and referencing the number of episodes. Like, not just you, I'm saying.
No, it's a terrible system.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's a
I've
bad
never
system,
numbered man. These, and I've never thought, like, well, we've made. I remember someone messaged me, they're like, you've done 200. I was like, what?
I'll tell you this, too. When we didn't originally, like, maybe we started numbering them. I don't know. But whenever we came up with the idea of numbering them, we were like, holy shit, we've really hit a new high now. Like, I mean, wow, Jesus, we're running this thing like a business, aren't we?
We did it. Like,
I think now we're naming them after fans.
Oh, really? The best part about this podcast, too, is they have a Facebook group.
The Rad Dude Cast After Dark is a fun place to be, man.
Listen, I'm there.
You're an active member.
The most, I think.
You troll.
I troll.
That is your. I think that is a place for you to vent all your trolling that you want to do other places.
Yes,
but
it
is. It's a safe space for you to troll.
Well, I know that I've taken on a role in the group. people know me.
Yeah, the town bully.
The town. They know what I'm doing. They know that if something gets posted, like, I'm there waiting to pounce.
Yeah, man. Get your fucking lunch boxes ready.
So all of you go check out the Rad Dudecast. It comes out every Tuesday. Let me. We're going to get into the emails. At Anthony DeVito _. Go follow. So funny. You'll love him on stage. Everything he's doing. We're sponsor people. I love the sponsor because I'm using it now.
Oh.
I'm trying to get healthy. We were just talking about this.
We were talking about that.
Care Of. Uh-huh. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Here's what I love about Care Of.
Yeah.
You go on and you tell them what you're looking for.
That's great.
So you say, hey, I'm having trouble, you know, I want to stay energized and I want to get my vitamins.
I
can't urinate.
What happened, doctor?
Please. And you go through and they put together a personalized little, you know, blend of vitamins that you can take on a daily basis. And listen, it's... there's a lot of people that are like, oh, vitamins don't. No, vitamins work, but they have to be for your needs.
Right.
So that's what Care Of does. Care Of has a fun online quiz where it asks you everything about your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices, and it takes about 5 minutes. I did the Care Of thing, and I'm using it now. Your vitamins get delivered right to your door in personalized, easy-to-remember daily packs, perfect for a busy on-the-go lifestyle. Listen, who's more on the go than me? Every week I'm traveling, I toss my Care Of stuff in the bag, I'm good to go.
How many vitamins are you taking?
About 30 to 50.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
No, it's an easy. No, you know, like, just spending the day shoveling vitamins in my mouth. 30 to 50. Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
No, it's just, you know, the regular amount. It tracks your progress with Care Of app and then earn rewards when you remember to take your vitamins. Your monthly subscription box can be easily modified at any time. Vegan and vegetarian supplement options available to match your dietary needs. They have delicious nutrient-packed quick stick powders that can be added to your monthly delivery for an extra easy boost. It's great. I love Care Of, and I love what they're doing because, listen, there's a reason people's bodies look and we live longer today than we did 20 years ago. It's because we're getting closer to the fountain of youth.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we get closer to El Dorado. Okay? Just getting closer. So listen. The online quiz is just so easy, and it addresses so many things that you don't even think about. Oh, what do I need? What am I looking for? And it's just great. So, listen, I'm using it. I love how I feel. With all the traveling I do, I should be dead.
Yeah, it's
like,
true, man.
You know what I mean? Like, every week, everyone looks at me, they're like, all you lot, like, your voice is a little scratchy.
I'll say
I
am surprised to see you every time I do.
Yeah, right?
I am.
So, this is what everyone tells me. And it's, and it's part in place because of Care Of keeps me, you know, with my, you know, vitamin program, keeps me going on
good.
Yeah,
you need it. And just think too, if you're like right now, you're like, you know, I'm a big proponent of Care Of. I just found out about 5 minutes ago, but I'm sold. If you're like, you know, right now, you're like, nah, man, I'm doing well. Like, I'm on the top of my game.
Sure.
I don't need vitamin. Think how much better you'll be.
You'll be. Also, you know what vitamins do for me personally?
I'd love to
hear
it.
And what Care Of has done for me personally? You know what Care Of has done for me personally?
This past Christmas.
It's one step towards being a little bit healthy.
Yeah.
We sit there going, I got to lose 50 pounds.
Come
That's
on.
Not attainable.
No.
Your whole day is better when you wake up and take the vitamins. Mm-hmm. Just the act of taking them is just that one little thought in your brain that I'm going to be a little bit better, a little bit smarter, a little bit. And you're like, and you don't want to waste it. You're like, I put money into this.
Totally.
So you're like, I'm going to drink a cup of water.
Totally.
I'm going to have the right breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start my day with vitamins. So I have to
Sets
you on a course.
And
so listen.
You want to set things up in your day too that are very mini accomplishments.
Yes. I look at my list.
You know?
One of them just says mail.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up the mail. My mailbox is inside of my building. I could walk down barefoot. And you know what's good about it? I get to cross it off the list.
Yep.
That's all that matters to me.
Absolutely, man.
I'll put stuff on my list that I've already done.
Yes, yes.
Because I'm like, you did it.
Yep.
Give yourself a little bit of the credit.
Yeah.
The prince of credit.
Dude, that is a funny thing. You get later on in life, like, checking things off a list becomes like a euphoric feeling.
Listen, I will not need Viagra. I'll just be make a list.
Yeah, man, just give me a
check shit off the list. I'm ready, honey.
Just give me a bunch of easy tasks. TTF. And yeah. Give me a pen.
Fold three shirts.
You'll never see. Oh. You've never seen an erection so big
I will
in your
be
life.
So fucking hard. Care of is a great sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's what we
I'm
got.
Sure, that's what Care of wanted.
Yeah, here we go. Fucking hard as shit.
You.
Listen, I love Care of. So listen, today you can get 25% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Visit careof.com. Enter promo code JTrain. That's careof.com. Promo code JTrain. careof.com. Promo code JTrain. So listen. 25% off. I love what they're doing because it just makes the whole process easier and better for your life. Let's do the emails. You ready?
Let's do it.
We have how much time we got?
3 minutes.
Play that one last email.
Shall we hit that email?
One more email.
I love this one because it's this one's good. Do I tell my ex's girlfriend that he's cheating with me?
Ooh, that's saucy.
This is juicy.
Shelby, can we get some juicy music?
This is juicy. There we go.
Oh, damn, man. Shelby lit a candle.
Shit. She wants me to do this at the San Francisco Live show.
That's fucked up.
Well... She says, I'm going to be at the San Francisco Live show, so it would be great if you answered at the show.
Oh, all right.
I kind of
want to
save
one.
It. I got to save it. I'm sorry. Yeah. People
Wait,
listening.
Wait, she wants to do that live?
Live, baby.
Man, I want to hear the truth in person.
Yeah, I want it in person.
That's wild, man.
And if you're in San Francisco right now, I think there were 4 tickets left. So if you want to hear that fucking email live,
man,
that's a
you
little taste.
You want to see a man's life get ruined in front of your eyes.
Hurt me face to face.
Right in front of your eyes. That's
wow,
crazy.
That is cold.
This is how good this show is getting. We didn't even do the show yet. Long distance, man. Never met virgin. Oh, this doesn't sound promising. Hey, Jared, hope you're ready for this one. I met a guy on Bumble 2 months ago. We've been talking nonstop literally 24/7 since then. The problem is that he's a med student in New York and I'm in L.A. I was able to match with him in L.A. because he was here on vacation. Here's the problem. We've never met. He's never initiated a phone call or FaceTime. I'm only okay with this because we vibe perfectly together over text. And I know he's quote-unquote real because a close girlfriend of mine dated him years ago.
I don't like this.
I don't like this at all.
I don't like this at all.
You got two men with cocks who both just...
I have never been able to comfortably say the word cock.
I just said it felt great.
Did it say that they did not talk on the phone?
They've never FaceTime or initiated a phone call, but she says she's okay with it and know that he's real because a close girlfriend of hers dated him years ago. I can't describe how perfectly we connect, but it's been crumbling since last week because I feel that he's prioritizing med school before me, and she writes in full caps, which is fine. Sounds like, but I've just been detaching myself to not be so dependent on his attention. It was easier for me in the first month because he had the night schedule at the hospital and it worked out perfect for me, and he wasn't that busy. Now he has his normal schedule and he's studying nonstop for the board and medical exam due in mid-December. Do I continue it? I've never had a connection with a guy like this before. Yes, sexting and photos, videos have happened. If I see him, it would be in March when he would come for vacation. He'll be back in town permanently by the end of the summer. I'm still talking to and dating other guys, but I end up making comparisons and he always wins. Why was her long distance never met virgin? P.S. Wait. I'm a 25-year-old virgin. Oh, here it is. And he's very experienced, 29 years old.
So you a 25-year-old virgin?
Yeah. Oh, it's hot.
He did the Law and Order thing, so I was just doing iced tea. I was just breaking into slick for no reason.
I thought you were a cock. I did lie and said I've had sex with one guy so he wouldn't think that I'd obsess over him. I'm not comfortable telling any guy about my V card. It's not about having the opportunity. I'm a 799. I just haven't found a decent guy to share the moment with. You're awesome. Thanks. What do we think?
So she's never met the guy?
They matched on an app. She says that their vibe over text is perfect. Never met because he was there on vacation. Yeah. And now the first month there was a lot of texting. Now it's kind of dropped off. And she's saying, not him, it's because of med school. What do we like? Should she wait this out?
Nonsense. If you were in the same city and you guys were sexting and going back and forth this much, there's so much of a rush in that. If you've never slept with a person before, it's so exciting. The prospects of doing that is so exciting.
Sure.
So then, like, I would fly to a city specifically to do that.
Yeah.
So if you happen to be in the same city and you guys don't link up, then that's bullshit.
Yeah, it didn't happen right away. And the thing is, she keeps making excuses for him.
Right.
She's like, he's in med school. The texts drop off because this, because that.
And also, too, stop being in a relationship before you're in one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, he's not calling this much or this or that. You're not dating.
He owes you nothing.
He owes you nothing.
Here's the other thing.
You owe him nothing.
We have to remember how easy it is to vibe with someone over text.
Of course.
It is so much easier to sit there and write your own script.
Yeah, of course, man.
You can delete.
Yeah.
You can not give facial expressions.
Right.
Do you know how important facial expressions for how you really feel about somebody?
Yeah.
People, I've said things to girls and had them look at me and then lie to me because I know they're lying because of their faces.
Right. Yeah. That's why we do it.
That's, you know, this is why we text, because you take, it's actually texting is like interacting with training wheels on.
Right.
There's you're not on two wheels.
No, man.
It's an easier conversation.
It's not happening live. You get to really think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
You get to edit what you're saying. You get to delete those things. It's like Woody Allen writes great movies.
Yes. But look at Louis.
Right. But if you sat down with Woody Allen, you'd be like, this guy is a nightmare.
There's a
nightmare. If you give him the time and the proper room.
Sure.
And a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
He'll make you Manhattan.
Well, this is why meeting, you know, me, I'm sure, at a show
is underwhelming. Totally. I feel the same exact way.
You know, like because we go on stage, we'll do the act,
which is us,
but
it's a script through us.
Yes. We've tested out.
This is cultivated.
All the things we've said to make sure that you will laugh every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then we have to go talk to you, and then you're like, what? Like,
it's an impossible standard.
Impossible.
Impossible.
That's why podcasts are an easier standard, but still, you know, Anthony and I
are kind of a performance.
We're talking for laughs here.
Right.
We did a fucking Jackie Chan thing not 20 minutes ago. And we're doing hypotheticals, and it's like we're also comfortable with each other because we're friends.
Right.
So like with, you know, to relate that to this girl's situation where it's like, are you going to sit there and hold your life out until March?
No.
You need to grow up.
Yeah.
25 from now to March is like so many experiences.
Yeah. Also, too, and it'll happen. I don't know if it's subconsciously happening, but there's a part of your mind that's going to stop looking because you know you have him.
Yes. So he's the netting under your trapeze act.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. It's like in The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Where they were like, look, you have to, the only way you're going to get out of that fucking hole that Bane lived in. You can't have the rope.
Right now you're in a hole.
Right now you're in the hole and you got
that's
the rope
very
on
good example.
And that's why you can't save Gotham City.
Mm-hmm.
It's a red flag for me that they haven't talked. Like I've been the text almost 24/7 with someone.
Sure.
And we both kind of acknowledge, wow, we're really easy to like talk.
This is great.
And I say talk in quotes because we're literally texting.
Yeah.
Right. And we both be like, yeah. Well, we want to talk to each other if we're really that interested, and then like we find it out.
Well, texting is a step. I'm not here to say that texting isn't anything at all.
No, it's fun.
It's fun, but it has to be step one.
Yeah.
It can't be, well, when he gets here, I'll lose my virginity to him, or I'll wait 6 months
right.
to lose my, you know.
Oh, totally.
So to me, my advice to her is you say to this guy, listen, this has been fun, but it's like taking up so much of my life that I'm actually like romanticizing this too much. And that's not your fault.
Right.
I'm romanticizing this. Or you don't even have to say this, but like understand.
Yeah.
You've romanticized this relationship to be something it is not.
Right.
And you say, hey, I'm going to take some time to like do my own thing. I want to be cool with you
right.
over social media. I want to like, you know, if every now and again you want to say what's up, that's cool.
Right.
But I would like kind of like drift away from it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, yeah, exactly what you were saying.
Because here's the thing. If he's going to, and fuck the whole med school excuse, okay? If he wanted to take a day trip and really fucking do it,
yeah,
he'd get on a plane on a Friday night and come back on a Sunday night.
100%, man. If he was
around you, $250 if you plan ahead.
If he was around you, happenstance to be around you, and didn't make the move to see you,
yeah,
something's up.
Something's up.
And med school is hard. That's a lot of hours. It's a lot of stress. If he gets any free window, you're going to want to release that stress.
Yeah.
Releasing that stress would mean seeing you.
Yeah.
And if he's not doing that, sums up.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love this question because I have a personal experience to go with it. Dear Jared, I'll skip the niceties and just go. Just know that there are feathers aplenty. I've listened to all your episodes and look forward to them every week. I'm writing them because I have a discussion with some friends on the topic of matchmaking services came up.
Okay.
So you know that matchmaking services basically...
I love the idea of a matchmaker.
You do?
As a profession? Yeah.
I mean, it's like life coach to me.
Yeah.
Like what seems easier than that?
Yeah.
Butting into people's business and hearing their problems.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, that's this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Matchmaker. I'll say this. I've met with a matchmaker before.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that like? Yeah, run me through that.
Matchmaker basically could also be called a nosy Jewish woman.
Because they're like a real estate agent for your genitals.
Basically. But I'll give my qualms with it. Let's read through her email.
Okay, cool.
Because as a guy, as a woman, I could see why it's perfect.
Right.
You know, I could see. Okay, let me just.
Well, what makes
because you're getting someone. To me, it feels like you're paying for someone to find you someone rich.
Oh, okay.
Do you get what I mean?
I do get what you mean.
Like, it's almost like an arranged marriage that you're paying to have happen.
Okay.
Because there's no real casualness to matchmaker date one.
I can't imagine that matchmaking is happening on the very socioeconomic, you know, like
the lower end of it?
Yeah, the lower end of it.
No, it's called cousins.
Right.
You know, like it's...
It's called look the other way at a family barbecue.
Yeah. Well, when I met... So I went and met with this woman, and I almost had her on the podcast, and I don't know why that fell apart, but I did think it was interesting. We had a great conversation. She's asking me about my life, and like, listen, if you're out there looking for jobs, the best thing you can do is ask people questions about their life and their experiences, because they're going to want to talk. People love talking about themselves. So she gets me talking about myself and what I'm doing. We met at a nice hotel. Mm-hmm. She gets me coffee, and she basically told me, she's like, I need men. I need prospective men, because women hit me up.
Gotcha. Okay, so
I'm
she's
being
meeting
paid
with you to be Matt. Like, she has a surplus of female clients.
Sure.
And she needs a male.
She needs the right type of men to be able to fix them up with. So, genuinely, like, just this isn't to say men or women, whatever. Women are paying, and men aren't really.
Right.
Like, if a man came to her and was like, find me a girl, I think he could find her a girl in 5 seconds.
Right. There's not a lot of money in that. I understand
so
that.
So, because what you find out.
She just goes, me.
Yeah. I'm ready. I will be yours. But what you find out is that she's vetting me to see if I would be a serious prospect.
Right.
I was like, I can't really. And I told her, I go, I honestly think your practice is made up of women with disposable income who are looking for men with more disposable income.
Right.
And I go, I don't mean that as anything bad or good. I'm just saying what my inclinations are as I come to meet with you. And she goes, I understand that. It's not like that. I meet with a lot of people that, like, I do a lot of pro bono, she said, because I want to be able to say on my resume I've had this many marriages.
Uh-huh.
And I get that makes sense to me, too.
Sure.
But the... I think it's... From the female standpoint, if you had the money to pay on it, I think you're going to be set up with guys that are good and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's
the best part of it. But don't look for this to be sexy. Don't look for this to be interesting necessarily. Like, it takes out a lot of the juice.
The romance of it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a business transaction.
It's very much, but... You know, if you look at, like, the divorce rate amongst, like, like arranged marriages, they're not that different. You know, I think they're better than, to me, it's a paid, you're paying to be arranged.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's read her email.
The small success of a normal marriage makes you be like, well, do whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Arrange it. Do whatever.
Let's just figure it out.
Just give it whatever shot it has.
Sure. I'm writing because I'm not sure if you have seen the show Married at First Sight, where people are matched by professionals and get married. I have seen the show. They have 8 weeks to live as a married couple do. They have a wedding where they meet for the first time at the altar. They go on the honeymoon. They move in together. It's quite crazy, to be honest. At the end of the 8 weeks, they decided whether to stay married or get a divorce. They are matched by a panel of experts who believe they are most compatible to make marriage work. Their success is 7 out of 21 couples who remain married to this day. That's even lower than the divorce rate statistic of 50%. Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good, but I like that people are trying other options.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on matchmaking services? Do you believe they work? What kind of success rate do you think they have? Do you think it's a scam? Who should go to these services? Would you ever consider doing it? How much is too much to pay for a service? Looking forward to hear your take on this type of quote-unquote dating. P.S. admitting to watching Married at First Sight is probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever said. I've watched it, so I'm with you, sister.
I've watched a shit ton of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
I have no place to judge.
This is the no judgment zone. What do you think?
Just hearing that, I am interested in the lowest tier of a matchmaking person. You know what I mean? Who's just like, you know what I mean? Like a back alley boob job kind of a guy who's just like, all right, $20, I got a sister.
I got
She's good to go. Just the non-high-end world of matchmaking is like a used car salesman for people. Is fucking it's hilarious to me.
That's a funny sitcom idea.
Yeah,
low rate.
Yeah, exactly. Just like,
listen, you got a dick. You got
She's
a vagina.
She's 5'10", 235. Yeah. One of her arms don't work so well. She thinks ghosts are real. What do you got? What do you want?
Yeah, but listen,
$15.
You're alone.
Yeah. What are your other options?
You got
a TV
else.
Dinner. And sweatpants, huh?
I think I do think there's a place for it. I think it's kind of like what I just said. I mean, I've given my opinion. Meeting with her, I never ended up getting fixed up. She tried to fix me up with one of her clients.
Yeah.
And I'll say from the guy's point of view, it really left no casualness to it.
Right.
And I'm not saying and there are probably women out there rolling their eyes like, why? Oh, if you want to be casual, that means you don't want something serious. No, it just never gave it time to breathe.
Yeah, I understand it. It doesn't evolve organically then.
Yeah, and listen, I take this from someone who's fixed up friends that have gotten married, have a kid now.
Right.
So I fixed up two friends.
Mm-hmm.
They got married. They had a kid. But
so you're one for one.
Listen, I'm going to fucking Jew heaven. I think that's part of the deal. I think they call it a mitzvah.
Yeah. Oh, Jew heaven off in the clouds in the right hand corner.
Yeah, that's right. Judging everybody.
Yeah. their clouds just a little bit higher,
a little bit higher
than everybody else. A little bit nicer.
Never can get the temperature right. A lot of complaints.
They come down to regular heaven. They complain about the weather.
Complain,
this harp is too loud.
Sure.
These clouds aren't fluffy enough.
Some would say this is Florida. this is a certain county in Florida. I would say when I set them up, because I wasn't paid.
Right.
I just went, go on. I'm not offended.
Right.
I'm not, you know, whatever. So I don't think that a matchmaker would be offended, but the matchmaker's checking in.
Oh,
so
I don't, that's kind of annoying to me.
That would be annoying to me. Like the matchmaker wants to go, so how'd it go with Jared?
Yeah, come
and
on.
And then she's going to go, he was great. Or she's going to go, he sucks.
Yeah.
And she'll go, okay, we'll find you another one. And then, but it's like, when you come out of, when you go at dating from that angle where you're like, where every date is like, will I guess, you know, if I think about this as I'm saying it, every date is a sign up for a next date. But just the idea that it's not like it feels like there's a lot of pressure for it to work out.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it that it feels like there's a positive to it where you learn more about yourself and what you need to improve upon.
Yeah.
By like talking to, you know, someone who can tell you what a third party said without hurting your feelings.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's a science to that I don't like.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel right. You know who I would say it's for?
Yeah.
The ultra rich.
Yeah, of course.
I think there are things, and I know that sounds bad, but like I think there are things for the rich that that shouldn't be for the regular Joes and Jims.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you know, I do think that, you know.
Well, what's making you say that, though?
Because if I was a woman, let's put this in female terms. Sure. If I'm a woman who's making $1 million a year.
Right.
I don't have, and I'm a hard charge and I got nothing going on. You know, I got very, my time is precious.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, I want love in my life, but I'm not sitting there on apps. I don't want somebody that's just into me because I live this high-end lifestyle.
What do you do? Let's give you more, by
the way. I'm like a Wall Street executive.
Wall Street executive.
You hot.
You're hot. You got a name?
Let's call me Lisa Jones.
Lisa Jones. You're a Wall Street executive. What's your wardrobe looking like?
Tons of like... The pantsuit,
gotcha.
Like the hot tailored pants,
high
waisted, tight white shirt, jacket.
Okay, cool. All right,
okay.
Lisa Jones, Wall
Lisa
Street
Jones.
Broker, all white Liz Claiborne pantsuit,
killing it,
killing it.
Gym at 6 a.m.
Gym at 6 a.m.
Work by 7:30. I like morning meetings. I don't like. I hate nights.
Amp for a morning meeting.
Love
Can't wait till people
meeting.
Get in the conference room.
We're doing breakfast. After spin, Lisa Jones goes to spin.
Gotcha.
The best spin class.
Of course.
Like
of
ones
course.
That you have to thumbprint into.
Eye scan. Two people in the room. One of them's Kelly Ripa.
Done. And prefers breakfast meetings over nighttime meetings because loves her sleep.
Mm-hmm. What time she go to bed? What time you go to bed? Lisa, sorry.
Lisa, I go to, as Lisa Jones, I go to bed at like, it's a 9 p.m. I'm going to bed after having a scoop of Halo Top.
Okay. 9 p.m.
That's
scoop
my treat.
One scoop, right.
That's my treat.
That's Lisa time.
Yeah, that's Lisa
that's
time.
That's considered therapy for you.
And I watch Shark Tank.
Oh, yeah.
While
of
Lisa
of course.
Time.
Of course. Who's your favorite on Shark Tank?
Barbara, of course.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right.
Lisa Jones
full,
don't like
full
Mr.
Spectrum.
Wonderful. Lisa Jones knows that Mr. Wonderful doesn't have enough money to bet on all the places.
Yeah.
Okay, he's just the actor
on that whole thing. Right. Yeah, he's just grandstanding.
He's
grandstanding.
No, but I mean that's Lisa Jones.
If he had the money, he'd have a full head of hair.
If if Mr. Wonderful had money, he wouldn't be nickel and diming fucking deals.
Dude, he does. He comes in for the scraps at the end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's
his move.
Man, if everybody says no, here's what I'll do. I own 75% of the company. I get to fuck your wife.
You fuck my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it.
10 cents on every thingamabobber you sell.
Yeah.
That's his move every time.
Yeah, he really is a scavenger.
I think he's become richer now because of Shark Tank.
Uh-huh.
But before Shark Tank, he was actually I'm out of Lisa Jones right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think he was cast onto Shark Tank from the Canadian version.
Oh, right. It's called Fishbox. It really is.
Canadian version.
I swear to God, man. If you look it up, it's
the end every episode. Really, sorry.
It's called like the Lion's Cage.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, ridiculous.
He was on that, and he was like the character that was cast into it.
I see.
Because he sold a business that was a some sort of like toy business that was kids, but it was like leveraged like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So like when he sold it, it sold for like $1 billion,
right,
but he
right,
owed
right.
like $950.
Totally.
So like he's like a paper billionaire sorts.
It's like when you make a lot of money in comedy and it's untaxed.
Yeah.
So then you have to give like it all back
April. I'm dealing with that with the Snapchat show.
Oh man, it's the worst.
They were asking me like, how do you want to be, you have to be, tell them.
Sure.
Which is like telling someone
cash
how to
torture
you. Cash
in a bag, bro.
You.
What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. And I told the accountant, I was just like, take the most.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Totally.
Take the most. No. I'll get it in return. I don't care.
No, because then you have to watch that like a hawk.
I know. Well, now I get a dime back. And they're like, you've been paying.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh,
it's horrible.
Fuck. So, listen.
Shelby's trying to rein us in.
Speaking of money. Lisa Jones. So then Lisa Jones has her Halo Top.
Gotcha. Scoop a Halo Top. She's out of
go to bed at 9. She, I could understand where she's like, anyone who meets me is going to be like fucking crazed out by my lifestyle.
Mm.
When she vacations, she's going Maldives. Right. Like when she does New Year's, it's away somewhere.
Right.
She doesn't do. She lives in New York in a penthouse apartment. Right. She doesn't do.
She's somewhere. A hologram's in Mykonos.
Yes.
That's what Lisa Jones is up to.
Lisa Jones is dancing with dead Tupac on New Year's Eve every year.
Yeah.
And for her, I would want to find the man who understands that lifestyle.
Yeah, I could see that from a perspective too, where you have to watch out for gold diggers. If you meet just any person at a bar, whatever, it's like, dude, they come into your apartment and they
see what I'm talking about.
That the living room is just like a full aquarium.
Yeah.
Like you need, there needs to be a vetting process so you don't get swindled.
And I'm not saying that rich people can't be gold diggers. I'm saying that if you want to find someone who has their own 7 a.m. meetings.
Right.
Maybe.
Totally.
You want to find someone that's like, oh, that's cool, good for you, but I'm like trying to hard charging at my own shit too.
Right.
So I would say a matchmaker in that scenario.
I'll let
like,
you finger me in between Halo scoops.
Exactly.
Right. That's all the time.
One finger.
I have for sex. One finger, and that's it.
Use the spoon. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're also sponsored. I love this sponsor. Speaking of money, and I've given out this sponsor before. I love this sponsor because, listen, you don't have to be Lisa Jones to save.
No, man.
You can be any
Joe. Be a regular Joe or Jim.
Regular Joe or Jim.
You could be a regular Joe or Jim, and your example of a rich person was Lisa Jones.
Lisa Jones. Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the Lisa Joneses.
Oh, shit. All right. That's pretty good.
Not intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with confidence, simple and intuitive, clear design, with data presented in an easy to digest way. Here's what I think about Robinhood. And from my personal experience, it's a great app for you to give saving and investing a try with no judgment.
Right.
And also, It makes it easy for you to save on a monthly basis.
Yeah, the no commission thing is good.
Totally.
That's
and
huge.
I think the most useful thing for me was making it, when you save, a lot of us are like, well, I don't have money. I can't save.
Right.
Can you save 10 bucks, 20 bucks a month?
Yeah, dude. It doesn't.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like checking shit off the list.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Dude, it feels good. It
feels fucking good.
You look
good.
At it even like, man, I don't know. I got a Wells, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If even when it grows like a couple dollars and you didn't do shit to get those couple dollars, it feels good.
That's why the rich are so happy. They didn't do shit.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare try to suck me into your world.
You're right. You did it.
Feels but good, doesn't it, Anthony?
It doesn't feel
feels
good.
Feels warm, huh? Like a
feels
blanket?
Feels good. That's
put
right.
on this red hat.
So I do love the Robinhood hat. The Robinhood app is no commission fees, design, easy to use, easy to understand charts. It makes you feel like someone's holding your hand through the crazy world of investing.
Oh, totally. And that's terrifying. It seems so daunting and terrifying.
You know what it is in going back to talking about the accountant? When you talk about tax season and you're just out of college, you're like, just give me a beer. I don't want to talk about
totally,
it.
Totally, man. It's a number language.
It's a number language.
It's a whole different thing.
And the whole thing is, the minute you get into it and give it 5 minutes, you feel that much better.
Yeah.
And I think Robinhood is that good entry into savings that we all need to be doing. And let me help you. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at jtrain.robinhood.com. That's jtrain.robinhood.com. Let me say it again. jtrain.robinhood.com. jtrain.robinhood.com. That gets you a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint. And that can really, you know, that's the jump start.
Totally.
Let me help your kids go through college.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome. I'm helping the kids.
Yeah. When
okay?
they get old enough, I will date them.
So get involved. I love this sponsor. I specifically love this sponsor just because it helps you. It helps me. It helps the show. These are things that you won't look back on and think this was a frivolous thing to put your money into.
No, I think this is the first I'm learning about this app, and I think it's very worthwhile.
jtrain.robinhood.com. Com.
Oh, speaking of Robin Hood, man, did you see that they're remaking it again?
I saw it with Jamie Foxx.
That looks horrible.
Yeah, is it every 2 years
I
now?
I don't know why, but the accent that he's taking on.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough, man. I just saw a bit of the trailer.
Because it's got the kid from the Kingsman.
Is that? Oh, that's Egerton.
That's
I like the Kingsman.
I'm a huge fan of both of those movies.
So Kingsman was one, it's surprisingly good.
The first one was like so good that I walked out being like, you can have fun at the movies again.
We can laugh again.
We can laugh again. They had a great anal joke at the end.
Oh, I don't remember it. What was
it? You don't remember? No. They cut it out because now you watch it on TV, so it's not in there.
Uh-huh.
Like I watched it on HBO the other night.
Yeah.
And there's a great joke with the princess that he ends up dating.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, and you're like, I can't believe this was even in here.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking.
She's
yes.
in jail.
Yes,
you know. You know?
Yeah, that is really funny. Yeah, that's...
It does, like, and Samuel L. Jackson is, like, perfect.
Yep.
Like, it's like, they play off, like, it's, like, kind of
like
spoofy.
A tech investor the whole movie.
It's great. How much time we got left, Shelby?
We are at an hour two.
You got any news items we can do?
I do.
Let's do one, and then we'll get out of here. Anthony DeVito, Rad Dudecast. That's the podcast every Tuesday afternoon at Anthony DeVito _. Go follow, go support, go check out his podcast. Go listen to Forrest Gump.
It's a don't start there.
Don't
I don't know what episode that is, but don't start there.
Where should they start? Is the last episode listenable?
The last episode's pretty. Yeah, the last episode is good. The last couple, I'd say any of the last five. I'll vouch for.
So there we go.
And we are a sister school to the J Train podcast.
The sister school to the J Train podcast. I'll go back. I've never been on the Rad Dudecast.
Yeah, man. We'll do it next week.
What? But you tape Mondays usually.
Yeah, we do. So that's a problem for you?
Tough for me.
I like the guy who makes a big stance about like I need to do that thing. No, that's no good.
Yeah, it doesn't work
in
my
do
schedule.
Thursdays at 3. Sorry.
I don't know about that one.
How about that one?
So,
how about that one?
Let's hit with Shelby with the news.
So
Shelby clears his throat.
Yeah. Shelby, wow, like a real actor. Holy shit. Yeah, is Wolf Blitzer in
Cronkite
the studio?
Cronkite just walked in. Go for it, Shelby.
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
So you guys like a big meal every now and again?
Love a big meal.
Love a meal.
I know
you. Seemed judgy. Yeah.
Yeah, Shelby, is this news you like or you're just going to call us fat?
Yeah.
Judging
from. I can tell you guys like a big meal. Judging by your hamburger or donut story.
You're two fatsos.
Well, a new study has been done of 2,000 Americans that shows the consequences, unintended, of eating such a big meal.
What is considered a big meal?
That's
do they,
a good question.
You know, this is is it app with a side and a main?
Yeah, we're talking 3 racks of ribs.
3 racks. I only do things in terms of ribs. That's how I measure.
And for a drink, beef barley soup.
Yep,
that we're talking about.
Like a heavy meal, like a burger, pizza.
Okay, so like a bad for you meal.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
The post meal slump, you ever get that?
Oh, do I ever?
Oh, yeah, man.
The average American, it turns out, those big meals spend an hour and 22 minutes after eating a heavy meal and spend 9 full days in the post meal slump every year.
Oh, so they've quantified how much time is wasted by a post-meal slump.
Yes, it's like a work productivity, but with fatty foods.
See, this is an interesting study for anyone that does like an office job, I would think.
Yeah.
Like if you're there from like 9 to 5,
and then
the office is like, let's do Applebee's.
Yes.
Then if I'm Lisa Jones who runs the office,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck you people.
Sheets like a bird.
I'm making sandwiches.
Yeah. The average American loses 33% of productivity if they eat this heavy meal at work.
That's the thing. When I used to work in an office, I would bring a sandwich.
Okay.
And then like I would eat it and then within like and I would give myself a half hour.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, I'm going to zone out with this sandwich
right
now. But then I was always like, all right, time to go. But I these work lunches, I'd be like,
oh,
how do people
killers,
go
man
home?
That's why you watch, and I actually think this is an old Louis bit, but you watch like Mad Men where they like drink all day on the job.
Sure.
And you're just like, how are you guys getting anything done? I remember. I mean,
is that a Louis bit?
Yeah,
it's funny. Yeah.
And I mean, I remember working at the Apple store, and like a customer service job after that like work slump. Is,
oh my god!
Like the deterioration in how I would help people from morning to that afternoon.
Can you imagine? I cannot imagine someone coming, like some college kid, being like, "I lost the server," and you're like, "I just had chili."
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. The advice I would give was just like, I don't even know if you need a computer, man.
throw it away, man.
Throw it away. Who needs anything? Yeah, I gotta go throw up. Yeah, I gotta go throw up by the MacBook Pros.
You know what helps this computer? A nap.
Yeah.
just a great nap.
There is nothing worse than like when you have a job. Because comedy, it's like you're kind of your own boss. So
sure.
You know, you can, if you have a big meal, you're like, well, I'll just take a nap.
Yes.
And no one's going to say a word
I used to feel badly about not having like a proper day.
Yeah.
Like, but like last night, I hosted the 11:30 show. Right. You get home at 2:30. You're
and
like,
and then you're amped.
And then you're amped, and it's like, okay, I fell asleep like 3:30, and it's like, and when I used to, I'd be like, okay, I got to be up at 9.
Right.
I'd be like, what am I doing this to myself for?
Right.
You know, like I've ruined myself.
You're ruining, right. So, but man, when you have that job, and exactly when the work lunch comes in, and they're just like, oh, we got buffalo wings today.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, don't give me a fucking progress report. you're doing this to
you've
me.
You've ruined me. Yeah. This is a test.
Yeah, this is
I also hate articles like this where they're like, you've wasted 9 days of your life.
Me too.
And it's like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
I got a nap.
Yeah.
Why do you have to put it this way? You know, like you've waited. Yeah. Oh, you know.
You want me up for that hour and 22 minutes? You know, nothing good.
What should I be doing in those 9 days?
Yes, I should be sleeping.
9 days a year, I should be staring at a wall.
Yeah, I'm not fucking curing cancer.
No.
I could take nine. It's better for the world for me to take 9 days off.
Your iPhone tells you per week how much time you're spending on the phone. Have you gotten that report?
I have not looked at it.
Have you looked at it?
No, I don't think I've done the update or whatever.
So the update, they show you how many hours you're looking at each app.
Yeah,
and
right.
That is depressing.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
It's like Apple, haven't you ruined our lives enough?
Yeah. I do know someone who took a week-long trip in Europe who's kind of Twitter obsessed, and they looked at it and were like, oh. Fuck.
Yeah.
While I was on vacation.
This is how much time you wasted on vacation. And well, I just went away to New Orleans last week, and I came back and it was like, your app time was down 30%. And I was like, oh, I must have been busy. You know, like I had shit to do.
Right. I wish they told you instead of quantifying it by time, they told you activities you could have been doing instead.
Yeah, give me some suggestions.
Yeah.
That's like that, you know, it's like Nancy Joel Sales. It's like, she comes in with fucking, these apps are horrible. It's like, yeah, well, how the fuck am I going to meet someone?
Right.
What's your alternative?
Yeah, here's how many bananas you could have eaten.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep booking you up, guys, so you can just run their ass down.
I'm not trying to run their ass down. Did you think she was a good guest on the podcast you heard her on before? Do they have similar issues?
She had known the person that was on.
So she respected the person.
Like, they had known, friendly, and worked together.
Oh, really?
And I don't... Like, they weren't in the same
Did they have a respectful conversation? Because, to me...
I don't think he was trying to challenge anything. Let's just, that you might... Not that you were just going
to... We weren't there to...
Debate.
We were there to just talk with him.
Yeah.
And I even, if you go listen to You Up, I even started by saying, you seem, you know, apprehensive. And I was like, I hope you know that we're fans. Like,
maybe, right. I don't... maybe she thought you were bro-y. I don't know. Just
no. She definitely looked at me and was a racist against me. There's no. I mean, she's an anti-bro-ite.
I could see. I mean, you know,
listen, I get that. I'm
you
coming.
Get it.
I get it.
Yeah.
But also give me some redeemability. Give me a chance.
I mean, I
in the same way I would give anyone of any look a chance.
I think you are a good test for. People's like moral center when it comes to that because you would look at you and you would go,
like, okay, fuck,
I'm gonna fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
And then you would talk to you and you would go, this guy's great.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it. But if you don't give me a chance to even talk,
I agree.
I kind of go, okay, I get that you are the person you think you're better than.
Totally.
And I would, you know, I was happy she came. I do think it was a worth I think everything she's saying is like, yes, we should be aware
right.
of the horrors of the world.
Sure.
And who I'm number one guy. Follow the money. I say it all the time.
Correct. You do.
Follow the money. That's my thing.
You're never not saying it.
I'm always saying it. Right, Shelby?
That's
every
the,
day.
That's the Jewish creed.
That's the Jew creed.
Literally, follow it.
Follow the money. Just follow your nose. You can't say it. Just
Two
follow.
Sam. How is he not Jewish?
That's a Jew.
That's a Jew.
I can tell you every cartoon that's a Jew. I can also tell you. I can also tell you every comedian's act out that they're thinking of a Jew.
Oh wait, what do you mean?
So there's certain comics that I see on a nightly basis
uh-huh.
that they'll go. They'll be like, and I was talking to this woman, and she's like, "Hello," and I'm like, "They." What did you just talk to my mom last night?
That like, is Eileen Freed.
That's
Eileen. Best.
Yeah, I know what you're doing here. You hate Jews.
Yeah, that's the county clerk at a Hello
yeah,
House.
Yeah, but it is a funny thing because I just like women don't like when a guy's like, and my girlfriend's like, yeah.
And a guy's like, oh,
I was talking to this bro and he was like, you know, it goes all ways. Like,
yeah.
The thing is, like, there's a lot of talk of punching up, punching down. Power is a loose, you know, power is exchanged.
Sure.
So the idea, if you live in terms of only these people have power in right. every scenario,
right.
then you end up sounding like the people you hate the most.
Right.
So it's like when a, you know, someone of a certain race goes on stage and is like, oh, I'm talking to this woman. They're like, can I talk to customers? I'm like, oh, that's my mom you're making fun of. You know,
right.
Like, I'm okay with you doing that. But then yeah. if they look at me, they'd be like, if I made a girl voice, I'd be like, of course.
Right.
The bro makes the woman voice and he's a massage, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think maybe it was done. I don't know, man. Maybe it was done so often. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah,
that perspective,
no.
That it was done so often that they're like,
we're always judged by the worst version of ourselves,
right? And that was done so often, so that like, anytime they hear it, it's like a trigger to the worst.
Sure,
and there was such a surplus of it.
They're not even going to listen to the words coming out of my mouth.
Right,
I get that.
Right,
and I respect that actually. Anthony DeVito, thank you for coming on.
Of course, man.
At Anthony DeVito _ the Rad Dude Cast every Tuesday afternoon. Go check it out. Shelby, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
This is Shelby signing off.
Shelby at Classic Shelb on Instagram, Twitter. Go follow Classic Shelb on Instagram. Fantastic photographer.
Thank you.
He's been taking the pictures promoting each episode that we're doing now. Anthony and I are going to go take a picture on the deck, but go follow at Classic Shelb on Instagram. He's doing some fantastic work. The rugby pictures are beautiful.
Thank you. I met a listener there. It was like yeah? totally weird coincidence.
Was he playing?
No, she.
She? Was she playing?
She knew somebody on the same gay rugby team.
It's a gay rugby team?
Mate, they're not all like gay.
Wait a minute. This is a turn. I thought we were ending. What do you mean?
It's like a LGBTQ. They're not all gay. Like 95%
of them. It's a gay-friendly league or team?
Team, but they won the league. They were like 6-1 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past LGBT. I mean, they're so inclusive.
Well, yeah, of course.
They have all the best athletes from all.
You have access to more athletes.
Yeah, it's like a big school district.
Totally, man. They've opened every door.
That used to be my in college, I had a friend, I've referenced him a bunch, Thunder Dan, who his theory on why the Patriots were good was that New England is
that.
A bigger district. And it's like, dude, you are way out to lunch. You are.
I absolutely love it. You can only pick from your district on the professional level.
Yeah, that's why Pittsburgh isn't as good as New England. They only have Pittsburgh to choose. No, dude.
Yeah, it's hotter in Miami, so they can play more.
Sure.
So that's why the Dolphins reign supreme.
That's why.
That's great.
Shelby,
man.
Thank you for bringing the news and telling us about the LGBT I think, what's the
Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights. Check them out. We'll be back next episode. Boom.